Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Pro Bowl quarterback Gus Frerotte. Gus has been a wonderful friend to us over the last several years, sharing his insights on what's going on around the game, about his former teams, plus, you know, just what goes on in the mind of a quarterback, plus his support on social media and his willingness to join us anytime really lets you know what a great guy Gus is. He had an outstanding 15-year career in the NFL. He's a guy who worked hard to go from being a seventh-round draft pick to quickly beating out the number 3 overall pick in the draft to become the starting quarterback in Washington. He was selected to the Pro Bowl in 1996 when he threw for nearly 3,500 yards, back when the game was even a lot different than it is right now from a rules perspective, and 3,500 yards was a heck of a year. Gus is now the host of a wonderful podcast called Huddle Up with Gus, which you can find on most of the major podcasting sites out there like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player.fm, StitcherRadio.com, and TuneIn, or just go online to HuddleUpWithGus.com. He's also a member of our 2019 Guest Hall of Fame class, and we're very honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Gus, Chris and Bob, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Gus. Happy New Year, fellas. How are you guys?
We're fantastic, my friend. How are you? How are you guys holding up in the crazy year of COVID?
We're doing pretty well. You know, my kids have been home off and on. My son graduated with no graduation from William & Mary, and he's been home ever since, and it's been great. You know, not many people say their son go to college, and usually they go off and do other things, but he's been home with me. And my other son, Gabe, has been home for Christmas. My daughter, Abby, who's in vet school at the University of Pennsylvania, she's been home off and on. And, you know, we've just kind of stayed tight-knit in all this and not gone many places. And my wife is working full-time at West Penn Hospital and their Women's Behavioral Health Clinic, and she does virtual therapy, goes into work once a week. So it's been crazy. We've been getting through it, but we're staying positive.
Yeah, and your boys being home, they took over your podcast, I saw, on the most recent episode. What was it like turning over the reins to those guys?
I actually loved it. You know, I just wanted them to experience everything I've been doing for the last few years. And I thought they did a great job, and they actually are going to interview one of my close friends tomorrow. They're going to interview Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been a friend of mine since they've been little, and they've known him forever. So they're super excited. They're going to get to go on Huddle Up with Gus and interview Ryan, and we'll have that out next week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. They do a great job with it. They're very knowledgeable about the game. And, you know, instead of some 50-year-old guy with a gray beard talking all the time, I decided to put some 20-year-olds on there who kind of get a better following and kind of deliver to a different audience.
It's interesting that you mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I wanted to get your thoughts on the situation in Miami. So maybe as a prequel to that interview, what are your thoughts about what happened in Miami? I mean, Ryan certainly got them off to a pretty good start. I mean, they were 3-3, but at the time when they brought in Tua. But he had certainly played well early on. They had won, you know, 2 in a row, 3 of their last 4, and then get benched for Tua. And we know Tua is probably the future, you know, of the franchise. Obviously, a guy that you draft that high. But it felt odd to me that based on how they were playing and how things were rolling and how well Fitzpatrick was playing, that they made that switch at that time. What were your thoughts?
Well, I didn't agree with it, not just because Ryan's my good friend and I believe in him. It's more of the sense that there's a whole team that believed in him, and they were playing really well and playing well together. And I think that, you know, when you have a leader is going out there and fighting for you. I mean, Ryan was 16 years in the league, and you know, last year for the Dolphins, not this past year, but the year before, he was the leading rusher for the Dolphins. And this guy put his heart and soul into the team. They followed him. They trusted him. He was winning games for them. They had really good players around them. And then they go and make a switch for no reason other than they wanted to see, you know, this is the guy they drafted. And I'm sure that Tua is going to be good at some point. But you've got to think about everybody else on the team at that point. That some of those guys won't be back for the Dolphins. Some of those guys may never play again. And I feel like it ruined their chances to really make the play. Because it came down to playing the Bills at the end. And the Bills really showed them who they showed everyone in the NFL who they are. And the Dolphins. And I feel like Ryan, at this point, gave them a way better chance to win than Tua did.
Yeah, and to your point, Gus, I mean, I think that's one of the other things that I think about is, you know, there's no guarantee for next season, right? Particularly for the veteran guy.
Right.
Injuries happen, rosters turn over, free agents come and go. So even if you're on an upward trajectory, it doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen next season sidetrack the team or derail the team. And, it doesn't work out. And, you know, veterans miss out on that opportunity. And for, you know, guys that may only be in the league, you know, a couple of more years, that may never come back around again. Ben Roethlisberger's talking about that, you know, as the Steelers look ahead to the playoff run. There is no next year. I mean, this may be the last best chance you have. Is it unfair to the veteran players to do something like the Dolphins did?
Oh, most definitely. I played 15 years, only made the playoffs a couple of times. I mean, there's only one Tom Brady that gets to do it year in and year out. I mean, that doesn't happen to everyone. And I just feel like that what happened in Miami was a mistake. And I understand where the coaches are coming from and the owners. You know, the way I look at it, even with the Steelers, right? If they don't go to the Super Bowl, the Rooneys are going to own the team for a long time. So in the next 30, 40 years, if they win two more Super Bowls, they're pretty darn happy. But the guys who are playing right now, it means the world to, because the average career in the NFL is only probably somewhere right around 3 years. And so those guys in Miami who had a chance to make a playoff that were playing really well, that had a good team around them, and because that the coaches decided they got to play the young guy, you know, it kind of dashes a lot of the hopes and dreams. I think that they could have, even though they won 10 games, you know, they should, the AFC was different this year. You had to win more than that. And so I think that Ryan, if he would have played the whole time, could have done that.
Along those same lines, Gus, and one of the things we've been talking about throughout the show, is what we saw from Doug Peterson and the Eagles Sunday night, right? The substitute and bringing in the third string quarterback in the fourth quarter. Now, I mean, look, you know, Washington wins the game. They're 7-9. The Giants only got themselves to 6-10. This probably isn't a conversation we should be having, you know, with either one of those teams having an opportunity to get into the playoffs. But because of the crazy situation, you know, the Giants may have some guys that, hey, they went out and did what they needed to do. They beat the Cowboys. Who knows what happens if Jalen Hurts stays in the game for the Eagles throughout the fourth quarter? He wasn't playing well, but it was only a 3-point game going into the fourth quarter. They had an opportunity to win that game. You know, if you're a Giant veteran, are you looking at Doug Peterson a little bit differently now, thinking, I had an opportunity to go to the playoffs here, and this is sort of against the integrity of what teams are supposed to do? You're supposed to play these out. You're supposed to play spoiler if you can.
Yeah, if you can. But, you know, you can't put that on Doug Peterson why the Giants didn't make the playoffs. You know, the Giants didn't make the playoffs because they only won 6 games. And they had to play better. Obviously, they lost Saquon Barkley. And they their quarterback was out for a little while. You know, when you look, try to say that I didn't make the playoffs because of another team, I don't think that's right. Now, I don't think it's right either that he took Jalen Hurts out and put the third string guy in and says he wanted to see what he was made of. I think it happened all season for the Eagles, right? They have good players and they have a chance to do good things. Carson Wentz may have stayed in a little too long. They got a good young guy. I think it was a completely different situation than what we had in Miami. Carson Wentz turned over the ball. I'm not saying he couldn't be the quarterback of the future for the Eagles, but he wasn't showing it through most of the season. Now then you see through the season, you say, let's see what our young guy got. Then the last game of the year, you bench him for the third string, who probably hasn't taken a snap all year, and he's wearing two gloves and freezing. It's like, I don't understand it at all. But all I know is the Washington football team, my team that drafted me, made the playoffs, and you know what? They're going to represent the NFC East.
Five questions for Gus.
Hey, Gus, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I want to take you back to when you got in the league with that Washington team. We were talking earlier in the show, Gus, about offensive-minded coaches, quarterback coaches, quarterback gurus, if you can call them that. And when you came in, you had North Turner as your head coach. Those first few years were very rough. Didn't really turn into team success. But Turner was always known and respected as an incredibly good offensive mind. What did he mean, being your first pro coach, what did he mean to your future success?
That's a great question. I've never had it kind of put that way because I think North Turner was a great mind. I mean, I remember so many times where he knew what the defense was going to do before they knew. So we were calling the right kind of plays. We were, throwing the ball downfield. And I think the what was great about Norv was we weren't into the kind of 5 yards and live with it. Norv was into the let's get 25, get 20-yard chunks, let's throw the ball downfield. And if it's not there, then let's check it down and take what they give you kind of attitude. And the great thing about Norv was that we wanted to have a great one. We had Terry Allen, we had a good line. We ran power and had a fullback, like things that they don't do in the NFL anymore. And that's why, you know, when you guys talk about, you know, I had a great year and had 3,500 yards. You know, you think back in the day when they ran the ball even more, and my sons and I are collecting these. We're doing this whole card collection now, which has been great, and we all sit and do it together. And I collect vintage cards. They like to collect all the new players. And, you know, there's a card with Roger Staubach from the NFC Championship game. And my son goes, Dad, he was like 14 and 19 for like 120 yards. And they won the game. I'm like, that's how football used to be. You know, it wasn't about throwing for 400 yards trying to win the game that way. But that's why the game has changed. And I think Norv kind of changed. He was right in the middle of all that change. And, you know, he still coached for many years after being in Washington. And he just had a mind for it. He had a mind for calling the plays, knowing when defense was going to blitz, and put great game plan together.
I think you're a good guy to talk about the Dwayne Haskins situation, Gus. We talked a little bit about him. 15 total games there. Not much success on the field. A lot worse off the field. Still a young man. Seems apologetic. What did you think about the situation? What advice would you give him?
Well, I think it was very hard for him to be in the city where he, I've been around the NFL a long time, and there's always people pulling at all your shoes, especially in your hometown. I've always wanted to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I always did, and I tried several times, but there's a part of me that said I'm glad I didn't come home. Because it would have been nonstop tickets. Let's go out. Let's do all these things. And I think he's gone through a lot of that. And hopefully, what has happened to him with the Washington football team, has humbled him and made him understand that I can't do those things that I think I should. I can't be influenced by my old friends. I can't, give in to the peer pressure because I think that attracts us, that we're all kind of weak in that way. And if you want to be in the NFL, there's not many people that get second chances. Now, if you're a first-round pick, you will. But other than that, you won't get many more. If he goes out and has a bad game wherever he is next, it's not going to go well for him. So I suggest that he gets away from it. He works really hard. He acts like, you know what? I don't deserve anything, and I have to work harder than anybody else on this field right now. And that's the only way he's going to put himself through it.
Gus, it's interesting that you can you kind of tell that story about getting away from, you know, playing in your hometown and you wanting to play for the Steelers, but maybe it was the best thing not to do that. I just always go back to Dan Marino and, you know, Danny reaching out to the Rooney family and say, you know, Mr. Rooney, don't let me get away. But, the Rooney saying that it was probably the best because of some of the rumors and the things that Dan had to deal with his senior year of college at Pitt, that maybe it was better for Dan to go play somewhere else and not play for the Steelers. Did you ever talk to Dan about that or any of the quarterbacks like that that had an opportunity to play in their hometown like yourself? And then ultimately it turning out to probably be the best thing not to do that.
Yeah, I never have really kind of talked about that with any other quarterback because that didn't really happen to me and I never had that situation come up. But you think about it, and you know, Dan is a great, you know, way to look at it because, you know, he was such a star at Pitt and he was the man. If you think about it, when he was coming out of college and, we all kind of heard about or knew about what happened, you know, what Dan was. I mean, he was the man and things were different in the, you know, in the '80s than they are now. And, you know, nobody had a cell phone taking pictures back then. So who knows what was going on, but to be in his hometown, I agree with you. It probably, and I agree with the Roonies, it probably was the best thing for him to get away and, you know, just kind of figure it out. Away from family, friends, all that. And you know what? Dan was such a superstar. It wouldn't have mattered where he went. He would have been Dan Marino, you know, whether it was in Miami or San Diego or Seattle, it wouldn't have mattered where he went. He was Dan Marino. So that's the great thing about him. But it is hard going home. I mean, even when I played against the Steelers, when I've come home against the Steelers, your phone is, you know, people are calling you. People are asking for tickets. Can I go to the game? Can I do this? And, you know, when are you going to be in town? So it is hard, and you have to learn to deal with those things, and you have to be immature about it.
I guess I want to get your thoughts on the Washington football team. It's hard not to say Redskins. The Washington football team getting into the playoffs.
I do it all the time.
I know. Defense looks really good. You know, and we saw how well they played, you know, when they played the Steelers a month ago, and they have certainly played really, really well over the last seven games, only averaging giving up 13 a game, 5-2 over the last seven. Is this a defense? Is this a team that could give Tom Brady and the Bucs a really hard time come Saturday night?
Well, I think the only way that the Washington football team has a chance, there's two things I think. They have to get Tom Brady. They can't go through the game without any sacks or any pressure. They have to put him on his butt. They have to hit him, and they have to get to him. If they don't, Brady will. Second thing is Alex Smith. You know, when he plays, he has to have a tremendous game. He has to be really, really good. And you know, he can't take big sacks. He can't do certain things that have happened to him this year. And we all know that what he's doing is incredible. But, you know, then to forget about that stuff when you're trying to win a playoff game. And he has to be incredible in this game for them to win. He has some really good players around him. And he's been in these situations before. He's played a long time. And he has to have a great game. So I think their defense has to get to Tom, put him on his butt. And I think that Alex Smith has to have a great game.
Guess I want to get back to your podcast again, Huddle Up with Gus. Tremendous, by the way. And it's, in this month's Podcast Magazine's Hot 50 list. Congratulations for making the Hot 50.
Yeah, we're like running neck and neck.
I know, which is great. I love that. I listened to one of your recent episodes with Matthew McConaughey and I learned that he's a Washington football team fan and, you know, he grew up liking them, and as a kid that grew up outside of Dallas, I'm sure that wasn't very popular, and a guy that went to the University of Texas. What are some of the things that you learned about Matthew, and you guys have apparently been friends for years? Anything new that you learned or you want to share with our audience about your conversation with him?
Well, you know, one of the funniest things that he said was he saw me dunk with two hands when he came to the facility one day. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I think you you saw somebody else do that. That wasn't me. But he said, no, it was you. I know it was you. I saw you do it. So it was kind of funny that he said that. But, you know, Matthew's just an amazing person. You know, when you saw him, his energy, his kind of enthusiasm for the team is incredible. When he comes into the facility or at the game, I didn't know that, you know, he had a jar, a mason jar full of dirt from old RFK Stadium. I don't even have, I don't have anything from RFK. I wish I did. You know, that was my favorite place to play in all the stadiums I've ever played in the NFL. But, you know, and, you know, the other thing I didn't know about Matthew was that, you know, he left and was an exchange student. His story about going to Australia and being an exchange student was amazing to me. And it probably humbled him, gave him so much passion to do what he do, what he did in his life and moved him forward. And so, you know, he was just open. It was great to catch up with him, and his book, Green Lights, is amazing. I like listening to it because he has one of those voices that you can just listen to. You know what I mean? And,
yeah,
he just does such a editing or talking about the book, when he is reading it. Like he, because the book is about little notations in it. There's all kind of little pages, pictures of, you know, all these notes that he's taken over all these years about his life. And it's just so easy to listen to. It's even a great read. So his book, Green Lights, was awesome. And just hearing about him going out to the desert and writing this book, and, you know, it's just an amazing story. He was a great guest. He's a good guy, and it was just such a pleasure to be able to sit down and chat with him for an hour.
Bob, one more for Gus.
Yeah, Gus, my final question was about RFK Stadium. I wanted to ask, you know, I went back to the 70s, Gus, when, you know, you had Kilmer and Sonny Jurgensen, then they became the Art Monk era, the Hogs and everything, and that place was electric. Now, whether you watched it on TV or you were there, I was there once. But you said it was your favorite place to play. Tell us why, and did you get a real good feeling about the history when you got there?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, obviously I was a Washington football team fan. I mean, I was a Steelers fan. I grew up in Pittsburgh. But when I got there and learned about, got to go play in that stadium, it's this old place by the Armory, see, and you drive there and you're like, where are we? You don't know where you are. It's like, you know, and I'm young, I'm like 24 years old, I'm trying to figure this out. And you go in that stadium and it's a packed house. You got the Hoggett, you got the band wearing all their gear, and you got just the stadium is packed. Then just incredible fans. And when you're getting and you're playing and you're getting going, and you see Monty Coleman stand up on the bench and he's waving his towel, and you see the fans going crazy, and then all of a sudden the bleachers start bouncing because those bleachers could move in and out because it's a baseball stadium, and the fans would just make them bounce. And like you said, Bob, it was just something electric. It was just something so incredible that I got to play in front of all those people and be the Washington football team's quarterback for a bit in history was just amazing to me.
Yes, before we let you go, remind our listeners again all the places that they can go to listen to your podcast and then what you're doing now as well.
Well, you're not going to ask me about my spaghetti recipe?
Oh, we'll always.
Well, if you got one, please share.
I don't put bones and all that stuff in it like Mr. Luke did. But everybody can find me at huddleupwithgus.com. They can check me out on social media at Gus Broad or at huddleupwithgus. I have both. You know, they can listen to me, our podcast, wherever they listen to their favorite podcast. It's been a great time. We got some great guests. My sons are interviewing Ryan Fitzpatrick tomorrow, and I'm going to be interviewing Matt Burke for a future show. So he's an old friend of mine. He was my center in in Minnesota. You won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. So I'll have Matt Burke on. But it's just been a pleasure that we've been able to do this and bring some great stories to people out there. And I want to thank everyone. I want to thank you guys for always helping me on social media and sharing it. And hopefully next month I'll be a little higher than you guys on the podcast magazine top 50.
A little friendly wager there. All right, that's fine. We'll keep it going, my friend. I mean, look, you're fantastic. We love you, and you know that you're one of our all time favorites here on the show, and your podcast is absolutely spectacular. So, you know, we love plugging not only the show, but we just love plugging you because a finer human being we haven't met. We're privileged to know you and call you a friend. We can't thank you enough for how generous you have been with your time and coming in and being a part of this show and sharing your stories. You're fantastic.
Well, thank you, Chris and Bob, and I appreciate you guys. And anytime you need me, love to talk football and love to talk old stories. And playing for 15 years, I got a lot of them. So hopefully I didn't bore you guys tonight. Hopefully it was, and I wish you guys all the best. And we'll do it again some Thursday night.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. You're fantastic. Stay safe. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up again soon, Gus.
Happy New Year, fellas.
Bye-bye.
Safe to you. See you, Gus. That's a great Gus Verratt. And I tell you, Bob, that interview that he did with Matthew McConaughey was fantastic. I mean, McConaughey and the stories that he shared, folks, I can't recommend Gus's show highly enough to you. Again, huddleupwithgus.com. But I don't remember exactly how long the interview was. I think he said a little over an hour with Matthew. But the guy was as forthcoming as you could be. And as Gus talked about, Bob, I mean, he went out to the desert and wrote his, you know, took notes. He's got notes from his life. And, you know, over, you know, wasn't just 50 straight days, but in, you know, about 15 day chunks, went out there and wrote his life story. And it's a fantastic listen. I've started to listen to that as well on top of listening to the interview. But great stuff from Gus. I tell you, what a great guy.
Hey, sure is, Chris. And, you know, he was a great athlete, and he really combined. As you can tell, he's a very polished guy, very intelligent man. And, you know, we were there when he first started all this stuff into the podcasting and everything. And he's been very thankful for what we've been able to plug for him and vice versa. And, great guy, and there's a reason why he's in our show's Hall of Fame. But I was getting goosebumps when he was talking about RFK, and so is he. And that shows you how special a place that was.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. Good for you for having the opportunity to go actually see a football game there. That's a heck of a thing. So anyway, we look forward to catching up with Gus. He's a great guy. HuddleWithGus.com. His podcast is a special thing. All right. When Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive. You're going to hear two more great stories about guys out there doing great things in their community. We'll do that on the other side of this real quick station break.